Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yes, sir. Reading you loud and clear. Clear. The clock has started.
Five, 5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 1.
This week's episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's Smallest Cast podcast. This podcast is designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers as part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. I'm your host, Just Nate, and this week we have on the line Dennis Cater. Welcome, DK.
Hey, Nate.
And on the phone, Dennis, today we have somebody that's actually been a guest prior, but with a different hat on. We have Ms. Mo Kanwisher from Momentum Business Consulting. Welcome, Mo.
Thank you for having me.
Did I say the right? Did I pronounce your name right?
Yes, of course you did.
Kanwisher.
Yeah, how do you mess up Mo?
I'm just going to say just Mo. Kind of like just Nate, but
yes,
just
that's
Mo.
Fine. Mo is perfect.
Mo. Okay, Mo, we promised you we'd get you back on the show again, and this time we were going to talk to you about your business consulting company called Momentum Business Consulting. So I'm glad you're back on. You have a new product that you're excited to share with us. I believe that product is called Momentum Business Advisors, short MBA for short. Is that correct?
That's correct. The MBA, sort of a tongue-in-cheek MBA for business owners.
You have lots of tongue-in-cheek things with everything. It's like perfect. It's like it was designed that way.
It is. Well, this was, at least. Momentum Business Advisors, yes.
Well, cool. So for those listeners out there, just a reminder, Mo is also a consultant down at Catalyst Campus for the Catalyst Accelerator. Is that correct, Mo?
I get that right? That is correct.
Excellent. Yep. And that's, yeah, I believe that's kicking off Monday, right?
It is. It kicks off Tuesday, actually. We have some prep meetings on Monday, but Tuesday is the first day that we welcome the eight companies that were competitively selected to participate in this season's accelerator. So I'm pumped and ready to go for that.
Nice. Well, you seem almost as busy as Dennis and I, probably more so.
You know, it's manageable. It's a nice, good cadence and a good pace. And I'm very satisfied.
Well, I don't know what we'd do if we were bored. Dennis, what would you do if you were bored?
Right.
Sleep.
I was going to say, Dennis, are you awake? What's going on?
Dennis,
wake up, Dennis. No, you got that fixed. I think you're in perfect health now, except for the whole arm thing with the dog attacking you.
That's right. Yeah.
So
Keeps me holy.
Yeah, quite literally. So literally. For those of you guys don't know, you know, it's been 2 weeks here since Dennis has been on one of these podcasts, and he went to go break up a fight between his own dogs and got in the way. And
I lost,
And the dogs told him who's boss. So if you ever want to get in between your dogs and having a fight, don't.
Don't. Throw a blanket over their head or a coat or something. That stops them from fighting. Don't get in the middle, because 80% of all dog bites are from that scenario. I'm now a statistic.
You've already been a statistic multiple times, I'm sure.
A statistic.
Statistical analysis. Okay. Let's get back to Mo.
All right, Mo.
Mo,
tell us how I get an MBA, because I need another MBA.
Do you need another one, really?
Yeah, no.
Well, this is an award.
You should have listened the first,
yeah,
time, Dennis.
I don't want to go to school anymore.
Is it once enough?
Well, apparently not.
Obviously not. Exactly. All of us on this phone call have multiple schooling, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Either we're gluttons
for
punishment.
Well, I do have an MBA, but the MBA that I have that I'm offering is what would be broadly known as a peer advisory board. And the concept behind it is founders and business owners and entrepreneurs and presidents of tech companies often come from technical backgrounds. That makes sense, right? They're scientists, they're engineers, they're inventors, they're entrepreneurs. And many have not had a lot of business background. And here they are finding themselves running companies. And so the MBA, Momentum Business Advisors, is a group that meets on a regular basis once a month with peers. So other presidents, other founders, other CEOs of small technical companies who need a place to be able to get solid, vetted advice, information, talk out problems, get solutions for things. And these peer advisory boards is the broad name for it, but they've been around for about 40 or 50 years. The difference between the ones that I offer is that it is really directed for technical minds and being able to bring in business concepts. And so that's what it's all about. It's a group of 12 people, leaders, who want to improve their personal business development, answer questions, and grow their businesses.
Okay, go ahead, Dennis.
Well, I want to say, so tell me how that works. So I know you and I chatted about this a few weeks ago. So it's kind of mm-hmm. like a mastermind sort of. So say, hey, I'm interested, you know, I've got a company. Now, do you just want CEOs or does it matter who it is, what level in the company? Is it just I'm interested in businesses or do you want the executives? Who's your target audience?
Well, it's really designed for the executives, for the decision maker in a small business. And typically there's one decision maker at really small businesses where right, the bottom right. line ends. So it's for the founder, it's for the CEO, it's for the president. Now, I'm also got in my up my sleeve, someday I'd like to do this for BD people, where it's all business development types, whatever form that comes in. Well, where they would have a group.
You and I need to have a little chatty chat after this.
I know you are. So eventually, after I get this one, I've been running these boards for about 11 years. But this one is very in tune to technical CEOs, people with technical backgrounds. So the target market for the group that I'm putting together now is just that, the founders, the CEOs, the presidents. And then eventually I'd like to do it for BD.
Of a tech company or a company that is developing some tech. So they could be software guys or whatever, a startup. Is that the model too?
Absolutely. Yeah. Anything that is a technical nature. So medical device companies, aerospace companies, software companies, anyone who you know, has grown his or her career and hasn't had experience of running a business, they're extremely technically knowledgeable. And I'm here to help them make sure that they balance out the technical knowledge with the business knowledge.
I think the key, Dennis, is that what she's trying to say is a lot of technical people start their own business and they do great on the engineering side or the tech side or their product side. But as soon as it comes to how do I run the business side, I think there's a lot of people that actually fail at that.
Oh, no. Oh, absolutely. Right? I know. So I have my MBA from Regis University up in Denver, and they do actually a lot with the School of Mines because the School of Mines guys are like, hey, we graduate all these engineers, but they don't know how to do the business aspect. So they try to team them together. Same with doctors and, you know, lawyers and dentists. You know, they come out with these technical degrees as well, but they've never run a clinic. And so I think schools are starting to pick up on that and give them some business classes, but it's kind of a different mindset. So I totally get it. So say I'm this tech guy, Mo, and now I want to get into your program. Can you talk me through like, Not the application piece of it all, but what does the program kind of look like? What are you requiring from the people? What's the workload and that kind of stuff?
Well, the workload isn't much for them, because the idea is I know that they're busy. And to add one more thing to their plate, especially a monthly meeting, if you will, isn't something that a lot of them are going to grab at. But I've been told from some other clients that the day that they have their advisory board meeting, their MBA meeting, is the best business day of the month for them. So it'll be a group of 12 non-competing businesses. There might be some competitors, but no direct competitors, so you can talk freely. We meet once a month virtually, pandemic or not. This will always be a virtual via Zoom. And each month, I will work with the presenter for that month beforehand and ask him or her, what's on your mind? What is eating at you? What's a problem that has been festering that you've been ignoring because you don't know how to address it? Which is something that happens a lot. There's a business issue out there, something that needs to be addressed. Everyone, whomever it is, often hesitates to make a decision because they don't want to make the wrong decision. So consequently, it gets unmade and then it festers. And it costs money and it costs brain space. So the idea is before the meeting, I'll talk with whoever the presenter is chosen. They'll take turns and say, okay, what's on your mind? We'll talk through it. I'll coach them on how to best present it to their peer group. And we'll have a very lightly moderated by me methodology for them to explain what it is that they are finding challenging or they want input on or they want to vet an idea. Typically, we have a methodology for going around the room and having everyone be able to ask questions and understand the issue at hand, and then be able to provide from their expertise, their perspectives, and their experience how they would handle that issue. So there is no prescribed curriculum. This is going to be exactly what is on the minds of the members, and if one of them is struggling with this, chances are multiple of the members of this group are. And if you're not having a problem with it now, you might have one in the future. So it's a way for real life experience, real business experience that gets brought to light. Everybody gets to kick it around a little bit and they provide their best advice, ideas, observations, and the business owner walks away with a bevy full of good information that they can implement.
Now,
go ahead.
Are you expecting, is the plan for, I think what, one thing I'd like to get into is if I'm a CEO and want to sign up for this, I mean, we'll get into that as well, but are you foreseeing everybody sign an NDA so they can get into their real problems? Because that, you know, that might be cumbersome to some of them if they're feared that, by answering one of their problems, you'll also have access to their IP or something.
Right. Well, the problems are always business issues. We're never going to talk technical issues. So the IP of protecting product information really doesn't come into play. But let's say that you're having an employee issue or something that is very sensitive that cannot get out for a lot of reasons. Everyone will sign confidentiality agreements upon entering into joining the MBA. Okay. The MBA is a one-year membership. And okay. As I said, we meet monthly. The meetings are about 2.5 hours. It seems like a really long time, but when you think about it, it's basically 1/40th of your work month, which allows you to really concentrate on growing your business, which for many of these people that is something that comes secondarily or tertiarily because they're so heavily working on the product or the tech. So this is time that is carved away once a month to work on the business, to solve those issues and move your business forward.
Now, will these members of the MBA will have access to you as a consultant during the
Absolutely.
Non-meeting times?
Yep. Yeah. Part of the program is if you're chosen, and you know, they're going to take turns. I'm bringing a business issue to the table. So I'll have a prep meeting with them beforehand to make sure that they're prepared to roll it out in the best way so that they can get the really good meaty feedback that they want. And then also I have a one-on-one with them and whomever else they want from their company or not to join me, and we'll work on whatever topic it is they want. So we could work on any kind of marketing issue. We can write strategic plans. We can brainstorm about product rollouts. We can develop product maps. So it's really up to the client, the member of the MBA, of what they want to use me for. And because I'm there and I'm witnessing and I'm hearing everything that's going on, I know where the areas are that need support. So I can bring it up and say, why don't we work on your value proposition today? Make sure we really nail that down. Or why don't we work on your next hiring plan so we could figure that out so that you got that nailed down. So when the time comes to hire, all you have to do is pull the trigger.
Okay, I like it. So before we get in, Dennis, what kind of questions do you have right now? I don't want to get into the how-tos yet. We'll do that right after break. So do you have all another brief question, Dennis, before we get into the break?
No, we should do the break first, and then I'll get into the question.
Okay, so we're going to take a quick 30-second break.
We have to listen to our sponsors once in a while.
That's right. We like our sponsors.
We do. They help us.
That's right.
It's a team effort.
Without sponsors, this show goes away. So with that being said, give me 30 seconds. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is James Jordan, founder and CEO of Archer Jordan. We're the leader in providing professionally managed fringe benefit plans to government contractors. Let me ask you a question. Is contract compliance stressing you out? Archer Jordan meets the challenge of ensuring regulatory compliance and maximum cost savings through our flagship program, Aero Contractors Trust. Visit archerjordan.com to schedule a free consultation today.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Smallscast podcast. This week we are talking with Just Mo from Momentum Business Consulting. We're talking about her new product line called Momentum Business Advisors. Welcome back, Mo.
Thank you.
And of course, welcome back, Dennis.
Hey, all right, I'm ready for my question.
You didn't forget it already?
I'm ready.
No, I wrote it down. No, just kidding. Hey, so Mo, so you talked about you've been doing this for a while now. What got you into doing this type of work? You know, you and I had discussed this previously about there's a lot of lessons learned here from folks. And I know technically some of the stuff you may not be able to share, but, you know, there's a lot of big lessons learned. So when I help you write your book and we're done with this conversation, you know, you'll remember me. But, you know, what got you into this work, and what are you seeing kind of big picture out there of what's going on with the transition from being a technical leader to being a business leader?
Great question. Okay, great one. So first of all, what got me into it is, well, I became a consultant about 12 years ago after working in corporate world as primarily product management and moving up through the product management role. And I was doing a lot of business development and project management and product development from the marketing side, making sure that products were what customers really needed. So a lot of customer discovery and things like that. And I was working, without giving away my age, but in the dot-coms a lot. And I got to a point where I had introduced all these new products for the company I was working for, and now they were on maintenance, and they didn't really have any other plans to introduce new products. So I was finding that there was a lot less for me to do, but there was still work for me to do. So I talked to my boss at the time, and I said, look, I've been wanting to start my own business for a while. You guys don't need me full-time, but you need me. So how about if I come on board as a contractor, as a consultant, and I work here part-time and I can develop my own business part-time. And so on Friday I was employee, and on Monday they were my first customer. And after about, I don't know, 6 or 8 months of doing just that, I looked into other ways to grow my business, and I actually bought a franchise of peer advisory boards. And that franchise was for women business owners only. And I I think I ran, I don't know, 7 or 8 of those boards with women business owners. But for me, it was wonderful, but it was missing something, and that is a male voice. And I really missed it. So for a lot of reasons, that whole franchise at the parent level became unraveled. And I ended up getting out of the contract for that franchise, and then I just ran the peer advisory boards on my own. And then since I didn't have to work by the franchise rules anymore, I opened it up to men. And so I was able to have groups of peer advisory boards with both male and female leaders. Most of those companies were very much service companies, professional service companies. And so it just evolved into now where most of my clients are technical. Most of them are producing some type of a tech product, whether it's for aerospace or space or medical devices or software. And what I'm seeing all the time as I'm talking to my clients is, you know, we're sitting across the table from each other and they put their elbows on the table and their hands on their forehead and they rub their temples and they say, I just wish I had someone to talk to. And that was the impetus for doing this, because that someone was more than just one. It was having a group of trusted peers, other business owners who know exactly what they're going through, who have experienced those issues, whose spouse doesn't want to hear it anymore, and who, you know, they need that sounding board for the business issues, because there are so many different answers to do things. You know, when they have a scientific or a technical problem in their business, something with their product, they know exactly how to attack it. They know which people on their team to put on it. They figure out the problem, they figure out the solution, and they implement it. That doesn't happen when it comes to some of the business issues. So this gives them the tools that they need to attack these business issues as fervently as they attack those technical issues that come up with their products.
It totally makes sense. I mean,
Yeah. I mean, there's tons of studies. I don't want to get into like the boring studies of it, but there are lots and lots of documented studies and programs and certainly anecdotal discussions about how being able to just talk openly about what you're challenged with gives someone the confidence and the knowledge to be able to go and say, oh, okay, I've talked this over with 11 other business owners and we're all in agreement. This is what I got to do. This is how I'm going to do it.
Is there something a little deeper going on too across society? And I guess that kind of goes back to my trends, but you know, the rise of the peer groups, there's, you know, the whole mastermind idea, the peer to peer networking, these types of forums, it seems like there's quite a few of them out there. I'm wondering if we're somehow missing the connection, you know, in your own company. The CEO maybe doesn't want to show that he's, you know, got doubts or what do they call that? Fake it till you make it. But they have kind of doubts on whether they can really do things or not, or whether they're going the right place. And by going to these other organizations outside of their company, it's kind of like you said, where it's a bit of a freeing construct where they don't have to worry about, you know, their subordinates going, well, this guy doesn't know what the heck he's doing, or just the ability to share your thoughts a little more open. Do you see that kind of as a trend out there?
Without a doubt. Especially that whole collaboration, especially in some of these tech businesses, I even see it more than I do in some of the professional service businesses where, you know, there's this, I don't have to fake it till I make it. I could say, look, I've got this going on and I am stumped. I don't know what to do about it. I think if I do this, then this could happen. If I do that, then that could happen. Help me out here. And so that ability to have a trusted group that you know is going to keep it confidential, you know is not going to judge you, and you know when they open up, they say, I got the same damn thing going on. And that is where that whole societal thing of saying, you know, you don't have to have all the answers, but you have to have a way to find all the answers. And this is a way to help them. And you're absolutely right. They can't let their subordinates know. You can't go to one of your subordinates and talk to them about an employee issue. Or you can't go to one of your employees and talk to them about how you're going to pay for healthcare. Right. But you can with these other CEOs and presidents and founders who have the same questions. And what also is great about this, and I didn't mention this earlier, is that depending on the topic that we're addressing that month, I will bring in a subject matter expert in addition to myself who can talk from an expert standpoint on that topic. That person will be a guest speaker and will listen to the conversation that's going on. And then he or she will add his perspective or her perspective on, well, here's what we see in the environment, or here are some solutions, or here are some resources, or whether it's just being able to offer resources or maybe even challenge them with some questions. All of that plays into getting the most solid, well thought out, vetted solutions to the issues that the business owner brings to the table.
Well, so one of the things that I want to go back to your story of how you got to where you are now, when you said, when you made the comment that it was, you know, your peer advisory board was only women, and you realized something was missing. I think you're seeing that a lot. Dennis and I realize that almost not exactly the same demographics, but the same type of thing happened with the smalls as we started out. You know, we started out as just small government contractors. But we very quickly realized that there's more voices out there than just the contractors. There's the entire ecosystem. And I think that's what you probably came across as well, right? Why limit yourself to just one voice where in business, it doesn't matter if you're male, female, whatever you are, you're all probably going to come across the same problems at some point in your career. So why not open it up to everybody that has the same business problems?
Precisely. And for me, you know, not to get into this big gender thing, but, you know, when it was just the women, I always felt like there was something missing. But there's always been this concept that women have to talk amongst women. And I personally have never prescribed to that. But I thought, well, if that's what some of my peer women business owners need, then why don't I supply them with that?
Sure.
And very shortly afterwards, I realized, you know, the clients that I have really don't need that. So that's why I felt very free when the franchise kind of fell apart and I wasn't stuck with the rules of that franchise anymore. First thing I did is I went out and found some male customers to join this. And we had a much more balanced and full and, you know, a 360 conversation. So it just worked better.
I like that. I like the way you stated that. It was more balanced at that point, right?
Yeah.
Because everybody has a voice. Everybody brings something, a little uniqueness to the conversation. And the more you can get in that conversation, the better, I would think, right? Because you're trying to solve other people's problems. It's not a winner chicken dinner. It's more of a, I don't care who you are. If you can help me, great. I'll give you a pat on the back and maybe buy you a beer or something.
Yeah. And you know, when we think about this, I mean, sometimes, you know, a woman CEO will have a different perspective than a male CEO, but both are needed to make good decisions. So whatever perspective you bring, I mean, two heads are better than one and 12 are better than two. So 100%. I'm going to bring together 12 brains, 12 smart people to help solve problems.
So Mo, a quick story. I worked for one of my previous companies. We actually bought a table at the Women's Leadership at one of the space symposiums a couple years back.
Okay.
And so we bought a table. It was like $5,000. And they normally put whoever bought the tables with some of the business owners, women business owners. What I found was kind of odd. So it was me and I think the president of our company sitting there with a table with full of women. So it was just us two men and then a table full of women. That's exactly what it was all about. It didn't matter that male, female. But what I thought was kind of interesting, during the conversation, they had a moderator, and I don't know where they got the moderator from, but she was trying to pit the whole men against women thing. But her board that was sitting up top were all massive CEOs of our CEOs of massive companies, and they're all women. And I would say 99% of them women up there, because they knew they were trying to be set up as, and saying, well, you know, you would have never got here. You know, the man has always kept you down or something like that. Every single one of them said, not at all. The reason why we are up here is because we were able to have conversations with men, women, whatever, whatever it took. That doesn't matter what sex we were. So I thought that was very interesting, because that very topic came up. And I think, like Dennis said, you know, you get socialized right now of everybody's trying to be so black and white, or whatever, men versus women. And when it comes down to it, just all talk together. So.
Right.
So
yeah. I mean, every smart brain is attached to a body, and, you know, go for the brain.
That's right.
I did want to switch topics slightly, because I do want to talk about trends still, about kind of what you're seeing out there as far as, like, overall. I don't want you to get detailed stuff now, because when we write our book, that's when I want you to go deeper. But
okay, all right, okay.
can I be a reviewer of the book?
What are the big picture things that are kind of?
Can you check my spelling?
No, I can't do that. I'm an engineer by trade. So what I can do, though, is I could do your page count for you.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, hey, someone has to do that. Why use Word to do that when I have Nate?
That's right.
You know, trends, Dennis, back to yours, and I'm sorry I didn't answer that before, but yes, I'm seeing trends that this collaborativeness, at least from my perspective and what I see amongst customers that I have, is more than ever, where, you know, especially amongst small businesses, you know, the problems that my clients are trying to solve, technical problems, are way bigger than themselves. So in order for them to be successful, they have to be their best, and they have to collaborate with others in order to make full products. So whether that others is a bunch of small businesses to get together and create one big solution, or working within, in your case of the smalls, and many of my clients too as well, you know, working with prime contractors or those mid-tier companies who, you know, they're large businesses, their focus is different, their processes are different, the way that they run their businesses are different. But to be able to provide full, complete products to solve massive issues that we have, we as in societal, has to be collaborative, because no one place can do it all. So from a societal standpoint, I think more and more people are starting to realize that you know, kill your competitor at any cost probably isn't such a good solution. And the concept of the pie is plenty big. Everybody can have a piece, and let's share that pie, and we'll all get to have what we want out of it, is something that is happening much more frequently with much greater ease. And it's not as of an unusual way to conduct business like it would have been maybe 10 or 15 years ago.
Are there any skill areas that perhaps are missing in our, I want to say education, but also our personal, you know, growth? Are there anything that kind of stands out where, you know, it seems like over and over again, I'm hearing guys say, you know, I really wish I would have paid attention in accounting, or, you know, the whole networking aspect of business development, or, you know, what are there big areas like that where there may not be specific skills, but areas that folks, again, you're kind of seeing over and over again where people are talking about, man, I wish I would have learned that, or that I never even got trained on those things.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny, because even if they had gotten trained on it, let's say that you're in engineering school and you take an accounting class, because somebody says, look, someday you're going to run your own business and you're going to want to take accounting. Well, here you are, you know, 15 or 20 years into your career, and that accounting class that you took when you were 19, even though accounting probably hasn't changed, you had no frame of reference for it. You know, it's almost like the same as people who, you know, take a language, and if you don't get to speak that language, you lose the ability to speak it. So, you know, for me, it's about, you know, understanding business situations and listening to them. And even if this is something that is not directly affecting you right now, being able to tuck it in the back of your brain, because chances are it's going to pop up. And I can't even tell you how many times I get phone calls out of the blue from previous customers who I worked with 3 years ago. And one day I'll get an email or I'll get a phone call and saying, Mo, you were right. You told me this 3 years ago and you told me that this is going to happen. And, you know, I didn't believe you, or, you know, I said, okay, well, maybe, and, you know, we'll see. And sure enough, I mean, I get one of those phone calls probably once a month. And they say, you know, remember when you were pounding into me the importance of me to do this? And I'll say, yeah. And he goes, well, it paid off because that just happened. So I think having that open-mindedness to know that, you know, when someone is sharing their experience with you or saying, mark my words, this is going to be important to you, that you listen and you don't have to debate it. You just got to listen to it, tuck it in the back of your brain, and maybe it'll never come up. Chances are it probably will. And then you can say, okay, now I have some perspective for this. And I didn't think about it 3 years ago because it wasn't on my lap. Well, it's here now. So I think that there's that, you know, going back to, I wish I would have learned this when I was in school or did that. That's all good to give you that fundamental. But as a business owner, until you're directly dealing with the situation in real time, that theoretical stuff that you learned really doesn't make a whole lot of difference. It gives you the foundation, but you have to apply what's going on in real life with the real experience. And as long as we're dealing with humans, there's always that wild card in there.
Couldn't have said it better. So, Mo, let's get into, how do people, first of all, when do applications open to be part of the MBA? Because I'm assuming you're limited to X amount of people per, do you call them seasons or per advisory board, well, cohort? What do you call it?
Yeah, per board, okay. Per advisory board. So there's 12 is the perfect number. 15 is too many, 8's not enough. So, you know, I aim for 12. As I said before, it's non-direct competing businesses, so you can talk freely about what you're dealing with. Applications are open now, and I'm expecting the first board to probably start meeting in June. You know, unlike other companies and other businesses, you know, you can sell a product one at a time. I have to have 12 customers buy once to be able to start this product. So I'm heavily talking with people right now, and I've already got some terrific people are like, yeah, count me in, Mo. I am so into this. So my goal is to start one group in June, and then we'll start a second group as soon as there's enough interest for that. As I mentioned before, we meet once a month. The group will decide what day of the week they want to meet on, and that'll be the same time. As I said, it'll be online. We have a methodology that goes that we run during that day so that we can ensure we get really good feedback. I'll be there to moderate in case we get a little bit too in the woods. I can bring us out a little bit, and I can make sure that no one is dominating the discussion too much. If we get down the rabbit hole and it's really not, the conversation isn't valuable to the entire group, I'll kind of set it aside and say, you know, let's talk about this one-on-one and let's talk about things now that can be of value to everyone. To join, all you have to do is give me a call, go onto the website. There's a very short application process. It's more data gathering. And I'll be completely open with this. It is totally my discretion of whether you get in or not. And I'm not taking any knuckleheads.
That's the way it should be, right? Because it's your business.
Life is too short, and it's not fair to my other clients if there's someone in there who truly isn't a peer and it is not experiencing the same types of issues. And who doesn't have the emotional intelligence to be able to work within a group.
Dennis, and, you hear that? No so knuckleheads. We're not allowed.
You're not knuckleheads. Neither one of you.
Well, more importantly, we don't own our own business. We're not CEOs yet.
Yeah, that's true too.
I prefer chucklehead anyways.
So,
chucklehead, okay.
Okay, Mo, you said you have a website. What's that website?
It's momentumbc.com. So that's the word momentum. B as in business, C as in consulting.com. And there's a tab right on there that's for the MBA. And you can click on there. And right there is a, you can set up a meeting with me to talk about this more. You can go ahead and go right to the application process. Or you can give me a call at any time. I'll be happy to talk to anyone to make sure that this is a good fit for them. And this will be a solution to help them be able to better run their business and make these business decisions, put them to bed and move on.
Okay. Now on that application, does it have the pricing on the application of what these people it should does. Expect?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. And I can tell you right now, it's $5,500 for the year. It's payable monthly. And that is all inclusive of everything. Nice. And for those listeners who are listening, if you get government SBIR awards and you can apply for the TABA funds, which are the technical assistance funds, this is a perfect use for those technical assistance funds that you can request in addition to an SBIR award. So I can tell you more about that if you are interested, if you've received an SBIR.
Nice. I'm learning something new every day, it seems like, about SBIRs, STTRs. I guess just there's just so much out there that it makes me feel inadequate that I don't know all this information about everything out there.
Yeah. Well, the TABA funds are sort of like a really well-kept secret that I'm blasting out everywhere because not every SBIR agency, so DOE or Homeland Defense or DOD or all the agencies that provide SBIRs, not all of them offer supplementary TABA funds, which, as I said, is technical and business assistance is what TABA stands for. And from what I understand, they come up, they're valued up to about $6,500 is what they're valued for. And the government knows, or the TABA authors, or the SBIR authors, if you will, know that the SBIR funds are designed to go directly to developing a new product. But you can't develop a new product without the business assistance. So a lot of times that is figuring out pricing schemes, understanding your channels, doing customer discovery, all those kinds of things that are expected specifically in a phase two SBIR award. But you need help to do some of the business side of that. And this is the perfect example of how to use those TABA funds.
Sure.
So, and they have to be requested. So.
Okay. And you request it after you win the SBIR, right?
Yeah. After you win an SBIR, you have to find out if that particular SBIR has TABA funds available.
Okay.
And if they are, you can request them.
Okay. So you mentioned, do you want to give them a phone number, or is the phone number on your website, or?
Phone number's on my website, but I'm happy to give it out right now too. And that is 303-946-9533.
Well, we'll get all this stuff posted in the show notes for this episode. And Mo, we'll also work with you. We're going to get you, get your stuff posted up on the blog side of our website. We'll put you guys out on our email distro as well to try to get you as many of these 12 CEOs that you can handle. So
wonderful. I look forward to talking to each and every one of them.
Dennis, what kind of questions do you have before we end this wonderful conversation?
When are we going to start writing the book? And when are we going to start getting
knucklehead?
Business chucklehead. When are we going to get the business development group going? We can talk offline.
You know what? We can get that going now, as far as I'm concerned.
All right.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. Let's do it. I think that the BB group and everyone in that will be a really fun group, because in that one, you know, you don't have the some of the dire decisions that a CEO or a founder has to make, but everything is positive, right? It's all about sales and understanding your customers and better defining products and needs and understanding problems that are out there so that you can bring back to your organization, hey, here's a prospect who's got this problem. We can fix that. And that to me is just, I don't know if there's too many more fun jobs than being able to solve problems. So I'm well, all up for that one.
I would definitely like to chat with you more about that idea. I think it's really good. And I have some other ideas as well. So I appreciate your time out today. And this is very good. And as we noted when we previously spoke, all excellent things you're doing and appreciate all the work you're doing out there.
And I appreciate you guys for helping me get the word out about this.
Oh, 100%. And Mo, thank you for being Mo. You are a staple in our community, even though you don't live in the community. You're kind of like me. We're kind of outsiders that commute into the community. But thank you so much for all that you do. Thanks for coming on the show. We're going to get this show posted as soon as possible. And with that being said, everybody get out there, take a look at Momentum. And go out to the website, see what you can find, sign up, give Mo a call if nothing else. She enjoys having a conversation with lots and lots of people because you never know what that next conversation is going to lead you. So with you know, I'm not going to do my shameless plug this time, Dennis. We're just going to say again that we do appreciate all of our sponsors out there for helping us out, bring this content to everybody, and just try to help all the small business community network, collaborate, and grow with one another. So with that, this is Just Nate signing off.
Thanks for listening.
You've reached the end of another episode of the SmallsCast podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you at the next episode.
See you at the next episode.